It's time to fire it up.
In the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char-broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here, just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Had a little cold snap in the middle of the week, but now we're full on spring, mid-60s and 70s and rain. But you know what? April showers, they bring May grilling. So I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking?
Hey, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. And it is still the smokiest show on the airwaves. If you've never listened to us before, it's called The Grilling Guys. If you came here by accident, we're very happy.
Yeah.
Because that's how we get
Lucky
all
you.
Of our listeners.
Right, yeah.
You can check us out on thegrillingguys.com. And it's an old site. It's a little beat up, but it still has a ton of resources. It has hundreds and hundreds of recipes if you do like grilling. If you don't, you've got the wrong show.
Yeah.
Because it's all about food and microbrews and good wine.
There's some of that is true. We do take some rabbit trails now and then.
I do.
Don't go down those.
I do.
Don't go down that topic line.
Yeah,
but,
like
you know,
we're going to talk about planting this spring right now.
Wow,
you know,
special.
And do stuff like
yes,
that.
Yeah.
But anyway, go to thegrillingguys.com. On the right side, you'll see all of our sponsors. If you click on their logo, you will hit probably a nice landing page with their current specials.
Yep.
And we want you to support those people because they keep us on the air.
Right.
And if you don't like those people enough, we're going to go away.
Yeah.
So maybe that's an incentive.
Yeah, right. There you go. Not good for the sponsors, but maybe good for you, right?
The top right side, you'll see a set of headphones. And if you click on those, it'll show you how to get our free podcast. You can send this show to your phone every week for free.
Yep. That's what we do.
And then you'll see a search bar, whatever you're looking for, if it's a recipe, if it's for, you know, a certain beer or, goodness sakes, who knows, a past show, maybe some people we've had on the show that you want to hear again, some celebrities or whatever. You can just use that search bar and you'll find a cornucopia.
And then some. Yeah. This was a charitable week for me. We Thursday night we went on the American Heart Association had a fundraiser, and I donated a barbecue for their auction. Did pretty well with it, but
Than the last one.
Yeah, but it was nice to see the room was full, and there are still lots of people out there that support the great causes that are near and dear to them. And I just happened to have a friends that were in they kind of are the local organizers for the American Heart Association, and they reached out. So I said, gladly, we'll support this. And so I went there, and it was fun. It was at the Goey Center on the Butterworth in Grand Rapids, a really nice venue. And it's kind of old factory-ish, but it's posh now.
Uh-huh.
And wedding venue, you know, that kind of thing.
Sure.
And the people at Eastern Floral own it, and as I understand, and they've really made it nice, really very nice. So it was a cool venue.
So if you have your wedding there, you better get your flowers from.
I'm thinking, yeah, there might be a deal associated with that, right? Some places you have to use certain caterers. I bet you have a florist there you have to use if you're coming in. But anyway, so that was fun. Enjoyed doing that. Got another one tonight for a Christian school that one of my friends and business associates, his children go there, and they just do a fundraiser. And so this was the give week, and but I'm pleased and fortunate to be able to do it. And we'll see how the barbecues go. This one tonight is a little more fun. It's pretty formal on Thursday night, but it was a black tie affair. But that word optional, I always take advantage of that. I'm really not a black tie guy.
Yeah.
But
my tux doesn't fit me so well anymore.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, that means the barbecue is good.
It shrunk.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That means the barbecue is good.
I'm not buying another one.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Well, you got maybe one more wedding coming, but other than that, you're pretty much done. But anyway, so what'd you cook this week? Anything good?
I wasn't going to talk about what I cooked. I was going to talk about what I'm planting. I told you I'm doing all these seeds.
You're cooking up a garden.
And I bought these things at Meijer, actually. They're these big trays with these peat moss little pods in them, and you just literally poke your seeds in them, and you you water it and you put the cover back on and leave it in indirect sun.
Oh, and they, you get the little starts.
And they start, and then you take the cover off after they start popping up. And so I've been bringing those out on the back porch every morning before I leave for work.
Yeah.
And
giving them a little sunshine.
By golly, she's coming.
Yeah?
And then
what'd you put in there?
My neighbor, oh, just all kinds of stuff. But my neighbor is, him and his wife both graduated from Michigan State with
Go green.
Some sort of horticulture degree. One's into trees, one's into plants, and I forget which is which.
Well, those are good kind of neighbors to have living in the woods like you do.
I'm thinking Chris is the plant guy, and his wife is the tree gal.
Oh, yeah.
But I could have that backwards. Either way, Chris has this, he's been educating me on gardening for the last few years, and he's just...
How's that going, Chris?
Yeah, it's amazing. We have a lot of fun. I stop in and watch what he's doing, and the dude is taught me a ton.
What's the one or two good things you've learned from Chris about gardening?
Don't build your greenhouse on the neighbor's lot line.
Well, there's one. I know some a thing or two about building things on lot lines. Yeah,
so. He did the same thing.
Yeah,
the dude. Oh. There's a dude that lives over
the other lot line, not your side.
A few lots down. We all have like 6 to 10 acres, depending on who's, you know, which driveway. This 10 bumps up against Chris's lot line. And let's just say he's a difficult fellow.
Well, sure. Yep.
And he loves to walk through the woods with these certain large dogs to intimidate people.
Oh, yeah.
This is a dude that rode up on his clown bike when I was over at an acreage or two down. I'm up in a tree stand. And he rides up because he didn't want me hunting back there. I was on the neighbor's, the girl that lived next to him, and she let me bow hunt. And he would literally ride up on a clown motorcycle and wave at me when I'm in the tree with a weapon in my hand.
So, okay.
He's suicidal. Yeah. Okay, so now I'm dissing on the neighbor.
Well, back to the story.
Oh, yeah. Well, so you learn not to plant your greenhouse on the lot.
I see. That's what you've learned from the guy who's an expert in planting.
No, honestly, he has taught me all about growing stuff in these growing sacks. Have you ever seen those? So I'm doing all my potatoes. You buy them wherever you want, but they're kind of like a canvas sack. You fill them with dirt. You put your seeds in them or whatever. I'm doing my
potatoes. You just cut up chunks of potato, right?
I'm doing my potatoes in these. And that way, because potatoes are kind of hard to harvest. When you dig them up, they tend to take off all over the place. When they're in this bag, you just literally lift them up and shake all the dirt out, and all your potatoes are there.
So, like, do you bury the bag? A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. About 3-4 inches.
I see. Just so it doesn't go somewhere, blow away, roll around.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
So the bags are cool.
My mom used to accuse me of not washing behind my ears, and potatoes would grow there. When I was a kid, right? Yeah, that's one of those old sayings. Remember, we did that a few weeks ago, the old sayings that people said. That's the one. Isn't that weird? Just made me think of that right now.
But yeah, and I've noticed also there's plants that grow better with each other and not.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been checking out these different people on, you know, TikTok or whatever that show you that what plants grow with these and that, you know. Keep your potatoes away from these. Keep your cucumbers away from these. And so there's just more. I never gave it a lot of thought. I used to just put plants in the garden and hope for the best.
So you're wasting a lot of Chris's time. I've got one item out of that, and you said you spend time with Chris a lot, teaching you stuff, and then you just went to TikTok, man.
Oh, okay. I'm not going to sit here and regurgitate everything the man's told me.
Well, I know it's secret now because it's kind of that neighborly.
It's taken me three years. You know, the neighbor rant was bad enough.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
There's a lucky clown out there still riding his bike.
Is there? Yeah, lucky because you missed, right? Yeah.
I didn't take the shot.
I know. That's funny. Well, we're going to talk a little bit for the rest of the show, maybe. We're going to talk a little bit about fishing and maybe some ways that you can prepare fish and that type. It's walleye season. I'm sad because my walleye guy fell off a horse and broke his foot, and we're not fishing this year because of it. So
you feel bad for him,
He was good. He's okay, and the horse is good. So that's all. But it stepped in a hole when he was running, so threw him pretty good. He's an older guy like you and me. Don't bounce so good.
Oh, no.
But anyway, everybody's good.
But he does bounce.
Yeah. So coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about walleye and some of the other fish that you might be harvesting. I sat down with Chaz, and he gave us some recipes, too. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's Garrett's Appliances.
Now hit me.
Oh, yeah. The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Thanks for tuning in. And if you missed the first segment, well, listen to it
You're
later
lucky.
On the podcast. Yeah. But we're going to talk about fishing. It's the spring of the year. Our friends at Allen Bob's are no longer in business. We'd usually have them in, so it's going to be just Bob and Jop that are going to talk about it today. But anyway,
it is time to get after the walleye.
Right?
Doesn't season start like right now?
No, it's been about 3 weeks already.
It already has.
That it's
okay.
Going. It's the first part. It's the first of April.
First of April
when it opens up.
And
but,
then trout's when? First of May.
This Saturday.
Oh.
Trout season last Saturday in April.
Okay.
Yep. So
that used to be a thing.
Yeah, right. And it still is for lots of guys. It's sacred. Most of the guys catch a few, but throw most of them back.
Well, my brothers and brother-in-laws and all of us would go up to the Pier Marquette.
Yep.
For that weekend, always in camp. And
yep.
So that was a thing.
Yeah, I did that too earlier on, but I don't do it so much anymore. But the walleye is fun. And, you know, we have lots and lots of lakes in Michigan have walleye, but I've got several friends that have gone down to the Detroit River, and my buddy Charlie,
Charlie. Yeah, those pictures looked really nice.
Yeah, he was there on Sunday and Monday this past week.
That was a beautiful stringer he showed.
Yeah, they limited out in like an hour and a half in the Detroit River, and you kind of float the river and jig while you're going down through there.
I wonder if Charlie would give us permission to post that on the Grillin' Guys Facebook
page.
I'm
sure he would, because there was nothing there. It was just him and four buddies. There were five of them in the boat. And they limited out both days.
I was really jonesing when I saw this. Like, why am I not down there?
Right. And that was just a charter that they hired.
Oh.
And you know, so you can go down there and hook that up. Heck yeah. You know, we could. I usually go with one of my buddies, a guy by the name of Randy Inman. And Randy, as I mentioned, fell off a horse. Horse is fine. He's not so good. But anyway, he's got a broken foot, so we couldn't go. And which is fine.
Well, he still has a boat.
Oh yeah, he does. Yeah, but I'm not that good of a friend. Hey, Randy, loan me your truck and your boat and all your equipment, and I'll just
and those boats are so
expensive.
I'll send
you pictures now. Right, I'll send you pictures.
They're so expensive.
But anyway, walleye is a thing, and it's a big thing. And for me, it's my favorite freshwater fish. Right. I mean, it's not seafood.
Oh
but
yeah,
it's
by
a
far,
freshwater
by
fish.
Far.
It's firm, but it's so mild.
I'm almost thinking perch is a close rival.
Well, they're brothers.
Yeah,
I know. A walleye's a big perch.
But
after
getting enough perch, it's kind of like, I used to be only walleye. Now it's like, I need to find more perch.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I would agree with you. I used to go to Drummond Island in the spring and get those
always.
But anyway, with regard to walleye, it's a mild fish. It's not fishy at all. It's got a real firm white flesh, and you take the fillets off, and you know you're keeping them. I think they got to be, don't quote me on this, but like 15 inches is a minimum that for the keepers, and you don't want them much more than like 22, 23 inches. The meat gets thick.
18 to 22 is
they're beautiful.
That's the sweet spot.
The fillet comes off. It's about a half inch thick right at the back, and they crisp up.
And
nice.
They change the DNR changes the sizes all the time. I don't even know how big it has to be now. Last time I fished for him, I think it was 15 inches.
Yeah.
Yep. That's too small.
Right, right. It is, and you let a lot of those back. And yeah, it's that. It's like you said, that 18 to 22.
You want them to breed a few times,
right? Oh, they're wonderful. But anyway, there's several ways to cook it. You know, I've talked about my favorite way, but there's some technique. There's a guy on the show. If you've been a longtime listener, his name is Ken Glupker, and we referred to him as Captain Ken. He runs a walleye charter out of Saginaw Bay, out of Augrey.
Is he still doing that?
Yes, he is. Hmm. And but anyway, Captain Ken taught me how to cook fish. And you think, how can you be taught to cook fish? Well, there's a couple secrets. And one of them is, I see you made a note on the show plan, is that when you get the fillets, make sure that what we break them up into two different sizes. There's backs,
right,
and bellies.
Yeah.
Right? And the back can is thicker, the bellies are thinner. You get down towards the tail, it starts getting thinner, mix those in with the bellies. And the reason is that when you put the fish in the fryer, you want it to be the same thickness or about.
Yeah.
So that they cook.
So you're not
about,
ruining
so,
it.
Right. You're not overcooking some and getting some that are undercooked when you empty the batch. But before they go in, the secret that Captain Ken taught me was to leave them in ice water for at least 20 or 30 minutes prior to the time they go in the fryer. And so they come out of the ice water, they're damp. He uses a cornmeal-based breading because I want to be fish-forward and breading. I don't want so much, but we'll talk about other breadings in a minute.
Yeah, and that's up to personal preference.
It is. But when that cold fish and it's damp, it sticks to the batter, and it's got like a Tupperware shaker. It's made for fish,
mm-hmm.
and there's a divider in it. There you put your batter in and shake it up.
I think the coating he uses is Andy's, isn't it?
Right, yes, it is.
Yeah.
And they've got two or three flavors, whatever you like.
You know what I found out also?
What?
That is great on all kinds of other things.
Oh, vegetables. Yeah, it's really good.
It's not just good for fish. Yeah.
It's light and it crisps up nice. But that 350 oil, cold fish into the batter, into the oil, and don't take more than, you know, a minute to do that.
You don't have to have a deep fryer either.
No. You can do it in a you know, kettle on the stove.
It seems like he just used a pan with about an inch of oil in it.
Yeah, you want enough so that it can submerge because you want it to get all sides, right? But at the end of the day.
But I'm just saying a lot of people say, well, I can't do that.
Yeah.
You can.
You can, right on your stovetop.
Yep.
I turn your vent hood on because it will smell up your house.
Do it on the grill.
Well, that's where I'm at. Mm-hmm. Yeah, is I do all my fish outside. And I just got one of those little burners. In a aluminum pan.
Yeah, you said you got a smaller version of a turkey cooker.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's
a
single burner, and it's maybe only like 10 inches around.
Perfect.
And they come with an aluminum pot that sits right on
it. That'd be great to take camping,
actually. Yeah, exactly. It just hooks up to a regular propane tank.
Because the turkey one is pretty
giant. Too big. Yeah, it's too much to carry. Yeah. And you don't need it that big unless you're doing a huge amount of fish. But
and nobody ever deep fries turkey anymore.
Right, yeah. So it's but you do that, put it in there, it'll float. When it's done, it's weird.
That's a great tip right there.
Yeah, exactly. But your fish will float in that oil when it's done. Pull it out. Now, I always have just an aluminum, like catering pan is what I call them, but
right.
An aluminum pan. Line it with two or three layers of paper towel.
Yes.
And then I take the hot fish right out, put it in there, and then I put a foil lid on top to try to keep it warm.
Don't get cheap on the paper towel. Put plenty of that down because it'll suck that oil out of there, and that's what you want.
Right. And the thing is that The part I don't like about cooking fish when there's a bunch of people around is I'm particular. I want my fish warm when I serve it. I don't want somebody that took the first batch got cold fish and the guy that got the last batch.
So use smaller pans.
That's right. That's where I was going. Smaller pans, put a lid on it, and you know, cook your fish and take it all out and serve it at once because the hot ones will keep the warm.
Every time I've cooked fish with you, we never got a chance to serve it.
Right, yeah, we just ate it after it came out. Yeah, exactly. Well, there's that going on. So make sure you pull enough
You'll
out
get
of the freezer.
The seagulls coming by.
Right.
They're going to be full before the dinner starts,
exactly.
So don't sweat it.
Yeah, and I don't put a lot of seasoning on it. This batter has a little profile to it, but I'm not a big guy to cover it with Lowry's
I'm
or anything like that.
I'm thinking T-Gid's Extra Cajun might be good on
it. You know, that is good on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about him in the fourth segment.
He's going to come on.
Keith Gidry, T-Gid, is going to come on. He's the Raging Cajun, and he's got a new seasoning out, and he sent us some of it, and damn if it ain't good.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I've put that on a bunch of stuff, pork, whatever, and it's fine.
Well, the walleye pretty much absconded with this whole segment.
Yep.
And we have halibut to talk. We'll just talk.
Just for the halibut?
Just for the halibut.
Yep,
we'll do that maybe in the next segment.
Yeah. So anyway, if you get a chance to cook some walleye, There's beer batter too. See, I don't particularly care for it because it gets thicker. You get more batter and less fish.
My wife loves that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make what she likes.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's good. And we'll talk a little bit in one of these segments about beer batter and how to make it.
Next segment, we're going to do fish and chips. So
there you go. That'll work.
So that's right along those lines.
All right. You listen to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much, you might choke.
Welcome back, you are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Thanks for tuning in. We're talking a little bit about fishing and cooking fish. And I went on a long diatribe there about walleye. So, Bob, let's take it away, brother.
No more bunny trails for me either. I got the neighbor out of the way.
Yeah.
So, let's talk. Before we head into fish and chips, I want to finish up this halibut. If you get a chance, and you can buy it even, but if you get a chance to go to Alaska.
It's a little spendy, though.
If you get a chance to go to Alaska.
Probably cheaper than going to Alaska to buy it local.
But, man, halibut fishing is so nice. You can catch them off California, too.
Yeah?
Yeah. There might be a human hook to it or something,
right,
but
right.
I love cooking on cedar plank.
Oh, yeah?
And I have friends who know that I like it, and when they're building, you know, a lot of our friends are builders, they'll keep their tail ends of cedar, and they'll just give them to me. So I have a whole stack of cedar that people were going to throw away or just burn.
How thick is it?
It's up varying thicknesses, but typically what I'm finding is a lot of the tongue and groove, which is like a 6-inch plank.
Yep.
And, you know, there's 6 to 15-inch sections. I don't care if it's got a tongue and groove on it. Doesn't matter.
No.
I'm going to soak it in water, and I'm going to throw a piece of fish on it. What I'm saying is halibut is a beautiful fish to do that with because it's like walleye. Excuse me. It's like walleye, very delicate.
Right.
You know, you don't want to just – there's not many fish you can just throw on the grill.
Right.
I mean, salmon you can if you leave the skin on it, but I'm going to take the skin off salmon and throw it on a cedar plank too.
Right.
If you've never grilled on cedar plank, and I know that Conrad probably does it all the time.
Oh, his wife does.
Trying to build up his man points here. Come on.
Impossible.
So, ouch.
Man, so, that hurts.
Anyways, if you've never grilled on a cedar plank, it's just... The flavor it imparts on fish is fantastic.
Right.
So halibut will absorb that. So let's talk about fish and chips.
Well, hold on. I got one more thing on the cedar plank. Because you can go to the lumber yard and buy them, and they're like the cedars that
they're
go on your
shakes.
The shakes that
they're
go
shakes.
On your house.
Yeah.
Those work too.
Cheap.
But when, yes, and they're cheap and get a stack. But if you go to like a store where you're buying them in the grilling aisle.
They're five times the price.
Yeah, don't bother. That's
no,
where I was going
to
go.
No, go to the lumber yard.
Yeah, just go to the lumber
what
yard.
What lumber yard would you go to? I like Standard Lumber.
Right, yep, yeah. Standard, Standale, wherever you're at,
yep.
You know, Zealand Lumber, whatever you're at, yep. You're part of town. But then the last thing, you said soak them in water. Little grilling tip here. If you've got some cheap whiskey, like I'm going to say 10 high or something. Don't buy anything good.
Whatever your brother-in-law left at your house.
Get a Tupperware, just a little bit bigger than your plank, plastic Tupperware. Put the plank in there and cover it, just barely cover it, with the whiskey. It'll soak it up. It'll give it a really good
Randy,
flavor.
I think we're going to have a talk about the 12-step program.
No, it's okay. That's just step number two. One is buy the plank. Two is buy the cheap whiskey. Three, put it in together.
Well, I would tell you this. If you're going to do that, you better put water with it.
Yeah, well, yeah, a little.
Because if you put it in whiskey and put it on the grill, you're going to have a fish au flambe.
I don't think so. No, yeah. Not that high proof of whiskey.
Okay.
We're not putting straight
alcohol. Well, anyway, my wife will do anything for fish and chips. And there are
that might be a good something to remember for you.
Hey, no.
There are certain places where you want to get it and you don't want to get it. And it's so funny because no matter where we get it, she'll rant and rave about it. Oh, that's the best fish and chips I ever had. And I'll be like, I didn't really care for it. Right. But I can't say that. The beautiful fish and chips that you get are done very often at like VFW halls or Polish halls or something like that, where you got five uncles in the back and a great big vat, and they're drinking beer as they make their beer batter, and they're dipping these big chunks of cod.
I think
in
you're
there.
Just liking the experience I and am. Not so much the fish and chips.
Uncles
right?
are great cooks.
Yeah.
So anyway, guy like Chaz back there, you know, you just dipping those big hunks of cod or whatever in there and a nice thick batter, and she loves it when it comes out when it's half bread.
Right, and it's hot, and it's hot. And we did that. The Sobeys, Tim and his son, were cooking. We went out to a place in by Marne and went to a fish fry a month and a half ago during Lent. Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and, I remember you telling me about that.
Yeah, we went out there, and they were cooking. But it was that. You look back there, there's seven guys that got bellies that you know how to eat and know how to cook fish and what's good. Right?
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
So you can also, some people, like my bride, loves tartar sauce.
Oh, yeah.
It's very easy to make. You just take a little Duke's mayonnaise.
Duke. Love
you put
me some Duke.
You put some of that cream of tartar
It's a powder, isn't it?
It's a powder, yeah. You sprinkle some of that on there, and then simply some sweet relish.
Right.
And mix that together. And so you can never say, gee, we don't have any tartar sauce. We've never bought it.
Right.
We just make it.
That sweet relish tip there is strain it a little bit. You don't want a lot of the juice. You just want the pickly nuggets in there.
But then for fish and chips, what you're going to want to make is French fries.
Mm.
And if you're trying to use fresh potatoes, and I highly recommend getting that down pat. Here's a few tips. And it's much like the walleye. And this is from my daughter, Maggie. She's a French fry expert.
Cool.
She soaks the French fries in ice water for 15 minutes.
You're talking about a peeled and cut up potato now.
Yeah, very thin fries.
So are they little ones, like, or are they
very
big
thin,
to wedges?
Very
thin.
Thin.
Okay. I'm a thin guy, too. My wife likes big wedges. But anyway,
that's why she married you.
Yep, I understand.
So, is your head okay?
I'm good.
So, nice and thin. You soak them in ice water for 15 minutes. Dry them completely. Here's the deal. Coat them in cornstarch.
Okay. Does that make stuff stick or makes them crispy, I bet?
Yeah.
I bet it makes them crispy.
Mm. Yeah, it does. And then fry them at 350 for a few minutes. Remove them from the oil, put them on something that the oil would drain on, and after you...
How long do you cook them for? How do you know they're done? Does it say, or did she tell you?
Just a few minutes.
Do they float too, kind of like the fish, or not so much?
They're going to be halfway done, so I'm saying a French fry is going to take 6 to 10 minutes. So if you do 3 or 4 minutes, pull them out, put them on a rack, and let them cool, let the oil, and then... When the first batch is golden brown, throw them back in again, and then do the whole batch a second time.
Oh, okay. All right. So there's no batter on them, really.
Nope.
They're just
corn
the potato starch. And the cornstarch.
Yep.
Right? She seasons them after they come out the second time.
Second time.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. And then what, like 350 oil? Just regular canola
for
oil
anything.
Or vegetable oil?
350s oil.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not going to buy peanut oil for my outdoor fryer anymore.
Right.
Because it's the flame's contained.
Right.
I'm going to try and find a healthier. I'm just seeing too many things about peanut oil that sound unattractive in terms of the mid-rib bulge.
We were talking during the break. Why is it that onion rings at a restaurant or anywhere you go are twice as much money as a French fry?
Randy.
Is an onion twice as expensive as a potato?
Randy.
What?
Is that your biggest problem?
It is. When we're talking about fried condiments, I mean,
I
love onion rings.
They're twice as big as a French fry, aren't they?
I mean, it's a ring, and they're, I don't know.
An onion ring is a ring?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and, you know, is I think a French fry French? I don't know.
Because fries are, you know, you get a hamburger, you get fries. So when you want, you know, something different, it's going to cost more money.
Well, with French fries, that's probably part of it, too. But with French fries at a restaurant or anything, VFW Hall, American Legion, they're always frozen. You know, they pull them from a giant processor, and they open up a bag and dump them in. With onion rings, I think you're going to tend to want to do them by hand.
I'm betting they got bags of those too.
They do, yeah, but yeah. They're never very good.
Correct. I agree with you.
So,
and we weren't talking about the good ones or the bad ones. It's just wherever you order them. If fries are $4, onion rings are $9, and it's like I don't get it. I just don't get it. But
so if you know, send us an email.
Right, yeah.
Help this poor boy.
One of those things, but because I really like him, but
because he's a thicker French fry.
He's got a furrowed brow this morning. You need to help, Chops.
Yeah. Would you? Would
he's
you?
The thick fry.
Help a brother out. Yeah.
So grilled halibut with garlic butter.
Mm.
That is
quickly
absolutely fantastic. Again, something you can do on a cedar plank.
Okay.
And garlic butter is too easy to make. Yeah. But just put whatever you like on that halibut. I personally, I'm going to put some thyme on it.
Yep. Not a lot of thyme because it'll overcook.
10 minutes. We're going to talk to TG in a minute.
All right. That sounds good. The Raging Cajun, he's coming up. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Joff from The Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them The Grilling Guys sent you.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Chop, it never gets dull. A grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grillin' Guys, I'll tell no lies. And do some great things to chicken thighs. When we're at the grill, smoking up a rack, a little...
Welcome back, Yarlis. The Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We've been talking everything fish, and... when we talk fish, there's a couple people that come to mind. Fish and seafood are in my same category. I realize they're different sources, but it's all kind of the same thing. So we got one of our board of directors on the line right now, don't we, Bob?
That's right. We got the old boy T-Gid on the phone. What's up, Big Sexy?
Good morning, gentlemen. How y'all been?
Oh, man, it's good to hear your voice. We're doing well. We're just coming out of that thing they call late spring. We're just finally, the flowers are coming up, and I bet you got full bloom where you're at.
We had frost at my house last night.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, man. The cypress trees, the oak trees, pecan trees, they're all blooming, man. Everybody's sneezing down here, but it's beautiful. Everything's lush.
So we wanted to get your very best version of a proper boil.
Yeah, I mean, well.
Up here, people call them fish boils. Because that seems, for some weird reason, but I know where you're at, you just call it a boil.
Yeah, I mean, we have shrimp, crab, crawfish. That's pretty much the main seafood boils we have down here in southern Louisiana. And, you know, right now it's crawfish, the prime peak season of crawfish season right now, you know. And but we had a drought last year, and the a lot of the females, because of the rice fields, were dried up, and the females died off, and so the populations have been kind of scarce, and the prices have been through the roof. I mean, man, I think it's more per pound than a gallon of gas. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's good. You can still get them though, but it's just they're a little spare.
Yeah, I mean, but they're starting to seem to be coming back full bloom right now. I mean, they have the Crawfish Festival coming up. We got the Festival International, which are two key indicators down here that it's prime crawfish season. And I read a couple of reports that it's kind of stabilizing the prices. Let me tell you something. When you go out to eat and it's like $50 for 5 pounds of crawfish, that's just crazy money right there. I mean, you might as well go to Ruth Chris and eat a steak.
Yeah,
but it's coming down now. It's about probably $30 for 5 pounds per person. So, you can get a good sack of crawfish and boil that for your family with all the vegetables and everything, and have a nice event and not break the bank, you know.
Now, how about the crawfish? Like, my son-in-law loves them, and he buys them frozen. What do you think of those?
Oh, the crawfish tails, you know, I mean, that's what we use for the crawfish etouffees and stews. And, I mean, what's great is I travel a lot. I travel 8 states around my territory, and you can go in any Walmart. And, you know, you got to be careful, though, because you got to look for that stamp on the bag, certified Cajun or certified Louisiana product, because they got Chinese crawfish out there. And I'm not saying, you know, that's a bad thing. I'm just saying there's a difference.
I am.
Yeah, so
you talk to your neighbor, a guy named Clay Higgins. You know him?
Oh, I love Clay. He's my hero.
He'll tell you don't buy the Chinese.
Oh yeah, no. There's definitely a difference.
So T. Gid, we're in the north. We're, you know, 600 miles north of you, and can we ship that? I mean, if we source it in your area where it's legit. And does it freeze and ship up here, or you don't ship the whole crawfish, you just ship the tail? How's that work?
Oh, no. I mean, they have a guy down here in Alexandria, Louisiana, which is about mid-state. You know, it's right up I-49 from Lafayette.
Closer to Baton Rouge.
About an hour and a half north of here, and it's, I think it's crawfishwholesale.com. He's like the largest crawfish wholesaler in the world. And he'll ship you whatever you want. He'll ship you it boiled. Pre-boiled, he'll ship it to you raw, you know, I mean, live, you know, people, I mean, if you want crawfish, you can get it.
I think,
you know,
what Jop was asking you is, if you buy it frozen, do they just ship the tail?
Oh, yeah, they can ship just the tail. It's like a pound block. It's pre-peeled. It has all the, I don't want to gross that, but it has the fat, you know, they normally take the fat out the head and everything. So it's got an orange color and it's got the beautiful tails, but it normally ships up in a pound block. It's frozen.
So T. Gid, here's where I'm really going with all of this is I want to do a boil on my deck beside my pool this summer. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I want product that when we get done, everybody's going, wow, that was amazing. So can I get that, or do I have to buy that local and fresh, or can I get it from...
And does that guy sell shrimp as well?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if he does shrimp. I think he pretty much specializes in just crawfish. But
what's the name of it? What's the name of it again?
I think it's CajunWholesale.com. There's another one. It's Cajun Grocer, like grocery, but without the Y, you know, grocer.com. They may have more of a selection of shrimp. You know,
does this CajunWholesale.com, does he sell extra Cajun?
You know, we were talking to him. We're in talk.
He should.
So explain to our listeners what extra Cajun is, because they may not know.
Well, extra Cajun is just a special blend, a family preference of seasoning that I've grown up with. I'm used to my mom, my dad, my grandmother, grandfather, everybody that's been influential in me and my cooking prowess has inspired me to come up with my own Cajun seasoning, me and my wife, because, you know, quite honestly, they got a lot of product out there that put the name Cajun on it, and it's really not Cajun, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's just bulk.
It's too salty, it's too spicy, it's too hot. You know, this Cajun seasoning is more about the flavor profile. A lot of flavor, a lot of zest in the flavor, and I think that's what we've captured in extra Cajun seasoning.
You know, if you were a kid and watched Karate Kid, Miyagi says everything in life needs balance. That's the classic example of, you know, that wise Japanese saying.
Right. Yeah. So Bob happened to get me a bottle of that, and I've used it on pork, and I've used it on fish, and I've used it on beef already, and every one of them, it was wonderful. And this is not a paid endorsement. This is just me telling you as a buddy that you got something going on here.
And if you're in West Michigan and you want to buy some of that, so far on the shelves, we've got Sobe Meats stocking it. So you're going to go there anyway. So pick up some extra Cajun and make sure you give a little like to to their Facebook page, or why don't you just watch the Grilling with the Gurus on YouTube, and then you'll see who you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. And, you know, we engineered that for, like, you know, specialty Cajun dishes, pot and pan type dishes, like etouffee, stews, gumbos, that sort of thing. But the side benefit is that we found people using it as a rub and smoked meat.
Exactly. Okay, so what we want to know is how to do a proper boil.
Yeah, that's what we started off with. So,
now, welcome to the Grilling Guys. That's the way this works, yeah.
Yeah, so basically you get your seafood of choice. You know, I like shrimp. Yeah, I mean, crawfish is great, but shrimp is a more universal. Everybody seems to like shrimp.
Right.
So, you know, my wife, her favorite is crab, Blue Point crabs.
Oh.
And everybody has their little special thing. But you got to start whatever protein you want to cook. And you get your big pot and your basket and your burner and everything. And, of course, you got to have your seasoning of preference. And there's a guy, a friend of my brother's, who has Swamp Dust. It's an incredible.
Yeah, we have
perfect,
it.
Yep. You've had it before? Yep. Yeah, it's just a perfect blend for a boil. It's got the right amount of heat, salt, lemon.
It's got plenty of heat.
Yeah,
it does have plenty of heat.
You dilute it, though, in the water, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And my dad taught me, that when he does the vegetables, because a lot of the kids, they love the vegetables, not so much the proteins. You know, you don't want to over-season that. So we normally use just salt and butter, and we boil our corn and potatoes and artichokes and sausage and, you know, onions and garlic. You know, we boil all that ahead of time before the protein. And then when you get to the actual seafood, that's when you dump in the heavy
swamp dust. Okay.
The spice and
if
everything.
You can't find swamp dust, you can always get some Old Bay. Get a bag of Old Bay. That's not bad.
Yeah, it's virtually the same thing, just tweaked out with a little bit more Cajun influence, yeah. I guess you could say.
That's the secret.
Yeah.
So you're going to stage your vegetables, corn, potatoes. Can you hang on and do the local segment with us?
Yeah, man.
Okay. Hold on.
Yeah, because we're going to finish this up.
We blabbed all the way through this dang show. We didn't get anything out there.
Right, yeah. But anyway, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week on the network. And, you know, get out there, fire up a grill or a smoker, or do a boil in your backyard, and create some grill envy in your neighborhood. We'll talk with you next week.
He said network.